As you're turning to chapter 2 of the text that our Lord and Savior would have us to focus on today, I believe we all at one time or another have prayed that things will get easier. We do. We'll pray that things will get easier in our lives and in the situations that is around us. Well, dear friends, don't you think it is time for us to start praying that God will just make us stronger? That God will strengthen us to help us and to enable us to do the things that the Lord would have us to do. We all desire an easy way, but life is very hard. Things get difficult from time to time. But we serve a Lord who loves us, who's willing to provide for us, willing to strengthen us, and to help us over the thresholds of trouble that beseech us. When we looked here at this passage of Scripture, we began to focus upon a subject that many don't like to think of, let alone talk about. But when the Holy Spirit led us to Revelation chapter number 2, the Lord began to remind us that He knows the heart. Our thought today is this: He knows the heart. In the book of Revelation, in chapter number 2, begin reading in verse number 1, Lord willing, we will read through verse number 5. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith, He that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hath found them liars, and hath bore and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Oh, dear friends, when you look here at Revelation chapter 2 and begin reading there in verse number 1 and go down to verse number 5, you will see there that John the Apostle, who was exiled on the Isle of Patmos, was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write of the church at Ephesus. This letter comes about 30 years after Paul had ministered at the city of Ephesus there in Acts chapter 19. I began to look at this very closely these days of late. For you see, dear friends, the church at Ephesus had got a little complacent. They'd got a little set in their ways, and they, like many of us, desired an easy way. And as I began to look at that, the Holy Spirit began to remind us on how that the old adversary is quick to come in and take refuge in our surroundings to bring problems and hardships to our lives. When you look here at the message that John is conveying, you will see there that they are commended for their stand. For you see, dear friends, the of Ephesus had faced much in way of persecution. They'd faced much in way of trial. And they stood sure in the faith. And they're commended for that. But something occurred in this church that occurs in our lives in the day and time in which it is that we live. They began to slip. They began to slumber. And they fell by the wayside. You say, Brother Lynn, what do you call that? I call that being backslidden. I began to look very closely at this church. And the Lord reminded us on how we used to be and how that they used to be and where we're at today. I believe, dear friend, that the Lord Jesus Christ would have us to be steadfast and unmovable in the faith and always being about the Father's business. But if we get a mindset and we want the easy way, if we have the mindset of wanting things to go our way, we can look out, because I can tell you, Satan will be quick to pounce. Why does he do that? To disrupt your walk with the Lord. And you find that was the message here with the church of Ephesus. They were strong and viral in the faith. But in time, they got weak and they began to slumber in their faith. And before you know it, dear friends, they had fallen by the wayside. What did John the Revelator say? He was inspired by the Lord to say something that's very hard for us to comprehend. But the word that he used was this: they had left their first love. If the Lord Jesus Christ is not first and foremost in your life, there's a problem. Now, I believe, dear friends, that we all will say, oh, how I love Jesus. He's everything to me. I can tell you today, our actions show if he's everything to us. I can tell you today, we, like the Ephesians, have a whole lot of lip service. But praise be to God, we have to have heart service. We have to be steadfast in the faith and be unmovable in the will of God and declare the good news of the gospel before a lost, dying, and needful world. You say, Brother Lynn, I'm here. I'm here. Oh, dear friends, thank God you're here. But I can tell you, you make him fool me. But I can tell you, dear friends, you can't fool the Lord. He knows your heart. He knows where you stand. He knows who you love and where you love and what your love is all about. And it's God's desire to be first and foremost in your life. Knows your heart. John, writing to this church at Ephesus, he began to speak how that the Lord wanted them to do something. What did the Lord desire for them to do? I tell you, dear friends, what he desired for them to do is what he desires for us to do in the day and time in which it is that we live. Notice there in verse number 5, John the Revelator would write, to remember. You remember what it was like to be on fire for God. You remember what it was like to have a witness and a testimony and a zeal and a drive for the Lord. You remember what it was like when the Lord picked you up out of that pit of sin and brought salvation to your heart. That's the desire that we're to have day in and day out. We may say it, we may walk like it, but I can tell you today, the Lord knows our heart. When you look here, when you look at Revelation chapter 2 and you find this first address to one of the seven churches, You will find there that the church of Ephesus is called out first because they had done something. They had done something that was very troubling to the Lord. I tell you today, friends, there's people today that are doing things that's very troubling to the Lord. You say, why is this happening in the day and time in which it is how we live? It's simply because people have left their first love. I tell you, dear friends, if people love the Lord, and they say they love the Lord, they would be here when church comes together. He says, I don't like that. Well, the Ephesian church didn't like it much either. But it was true. John would say, remember from which thou art fallen and do something. What were they to do? They're to do what we're to do. To repent, to change direction, to have a change of mind, to put the Lord Jesus Christ first and foremost in their life and all that it is that they say and do, and their witness and their testimony will declare the love of God before a lost, dying, and needful world. People says, why does the church today not have the same power as that it once had? John would declare, by the inspiration of the Word, the Lord knew their works. He knew their works. He knew how they lived. He knew what they'd done. He knew what they was about. You see, dear friends, it was because that he led them. He guided them. And he directed them. It was not that Christ drifted away from him, but they drifted away from Christ. They had turned their back upon the Lord. They began to love the world and the things of the world more than they did God. Yet, they were there. They were there when the doors was open. They sang the songs. They participated in all the activities. Yet God seen the heart. You say, well, why was that so important? Oh, dear friends, the reason that it was so important was that the Church of Ephesus, like Pine Hill Baptist Church, has a platform to declare the good news of the gospel to the world that's around us. We have been chosen by God to plant seeds that lead to eternal life in the world that's around us. But I can tell you today, if you love the things of the world more than the will of God, you will slip, you will slumber, you will fall, and your testimony will wane and fall short of the glory of God. Church of Ephesus, it's a strong church. It was an important church. You go back and you look at Acts chapter 19 when Paul ministered there. It was an important metropolitan area. But in the years that would come, they would have their highs, their lows, their ups, and their downs. But all the while, the Lord was with them. He never left them nor forsake them. But you see, dear friends, that they began to embrace the things of the world and church and attendance and following the will of God became more of going through the motions than declaring the faith that they had in Christ. You see, dear friends, that happens day in and day out, Sunday after Sunday. Dear friends, I want to tell you today, you ain't done Christ a favor by attending today and throwing 50 cents in the plate. You ain't done him no favor. It's all His anyhow. I used to hear the old preacher say, the Lord God that I serve, not only does He own the cattle of a thousand hills, but He owns the taters that's in them hills. It's all His. It's all His. No, how that John would address this church, declaring to them this message that the Lord Jesus Christ wanted for them, as He wants for us today, to repent and to be all that we can for the glory of God. He knows our heart. He knows our heart. Yes, we want things easier. But why don't we just pray that God just makes us a little stronger? We want things our way. But why don't we just pray to do things God's way? We pray our will be done. But Jesus declared, not mine, but thine be done. Oh, dear friends, it's easy to fall by the wayside. It's easy to fall in a backslidden state. You say, how do you know, Brother Lynn? I've been there. I've been there. If you'll be honest with the Lord, you've been there too. Some of you may be there now. I don't know. But the Lord knows. Now notice what would follow. Verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Oh, dear friends, it's not God's desire to take that action with those that He loves. But I can tell you today, friends, He will suppress your testimony. He will lay you down to get your attention. Because those He loves, He chastens. And the Bible tells us, 1 John, chapter 1 and verse number 9, listen to this. Same man that would pen the book of Revelation would also pen 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the Gospel of John. Here in 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What He said is this: if we will confess, if we will have a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of direction, He will put us on that path that brings blessing, and that we can declare to the world around us that He is and forever will be our first love. There's a lot of things I love in life, don't you? I love my wife. I love my church. I love this Bible. It's 115-year-old. Many of you have probably seen me up back there running around back here in the back. You know what I've been doing? I've been doing Bible repair. It's amazing what you can do with a little glue and some scissors and some patience and a hammer and a tack. And it was all here. It was all here. If I didn't put something back where it belongs, I apologize. But God will bless us and help us and enable us to take the witness and the testimony that we have in our heart and declare it to those that is around us. The church there at Ephesus had an opportunity to share, but to share in the willingness and the obedience of God, the Lord had to be their first love. You say, why do so many ministries fail? Well, many of them goes into it half-heartedly. I don't know about you, but they've hardly ever been a ministry that I've been a part of that's not had a struggle or two. It seems as though with Vacation Bible School, things will be clicking right along month after month after month after month. And a week of Vacation Bible School, Sister Paula, everything will happen. You know why? Because the devil has a desire to dissuade you, to distract you, to depress you, to help you, and to bring havoc in your life, to have you feel as though you'd be better off just quitting. So here, the church of the Ephesians was on the brink and didn't even know it. The Word of God declared for them as it declares for us to remember. You remember when you've been down and the Lord's lifted you up? You remember the times in your life when you didn't know what tomorrow held, but you prayed all these prayer vows and cried out to God and He showed you who held tomorrow. Let us never forget. You say, Brother Lynn, you drift, yes. You fall by the wayside, yes. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I fell and come short of the glory of God each and every day. But praise be to God. I got one who loves me. And listen, I don't want him. I don't want him to suppress my candlestick. I want to be able to declare the good news of the gospel. I want to see souls saved. I want to see lives changed for the glory of God. That is what John the Revelator has inspired to write here in Revelation chapter number 2. And I began to focus very much upon that because the Ephesian church and the church today have seen where they've been and they've seen what they've done. They see where they're at and praise God, they can see where they need to be. I believe you'll all agree that altar ain't used as much as it used to be. You can remember. You wouldn't even have to give an invitation. There'd be people falling on their knees up here praying. Why? Because they had that love. Had that love, and that love showed through their demeanor. It showed through their actions. It showed through their testimony, and it declared their witness before all around. Now, people have it tug on their heart. You need to go and pray. Then Brother Bob, the old devil will say, well, what are they going to think? You're up there every time they give that invitation out. You're going to wire that carpet on with your knees. Well, if it wires out, we'll just get more. You see, dear friends, I believe that we at the Ephesian church, we fall by the wayside simply because we're looking for the easy route. We're hoping that somebody else will do it. And we have a heart that's filled with the things of the world instead of having a heart that's filled with the will of God. You say, Brother Lynn, do you not love the things of the world? Yes, I do. But Jesus Christ, praise His holy name. He's first and He's foremost. And all these other things fall into place. I love my wife. I do. I can't declare to you and tell you how much I love Miss Angie. I've told people many, many years, she's just not the woman that I wanted to live with. She's the woman I couldn't live without. She's second to the Lord. She's second to the Lord. I love this church. My daddy sent me. I love my dad. But they all fall in their proper place because Jesus Christ is first. I got a little 97 BMW Z3. Ain't worth much money. I love it like a child. Take anything for that little car. I thank God. But it has its place. You see, what the Word is declaring here in Revelation 2 was that the Ephesians had loves too. And the sad part was that Christ found His place, but He wasn't first. He wasn't first. Because they thought more of this, that, and other things than they did the Lord. You say, does that happen? Yes, that happens. That happens. Happens to us all. Why? Because the eye candy of the world has a way of attracting us. Adversary who walks about seeking whom that he may devour will tug you, he will tempt you, and he will try you and seduce you to fall victim to his will. And John, by the inspiration of the Lord, says, repent. Because listen, putting it in country boys' terms, the Lord's going to get your attention. You may go for a while, but there's a stopping point. There's a stopping point. My heart's just beating. It's about to beat out my chest. Why? Because it's hard. It's hard. It's very hard. Do you know the Bible teaches us in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who does what? Strengthens me. You put Him first, He'll strengthen you. You put Him first and foremost, He'll bless you. Was it the end for the Ephesian church? No. No more than it is the end for us today. But they got a word of warning. Got a word of warning. You know something? If I had not rededicated my life and answered the call that Christ had placed on my life after 2 years of running hard. Because I'd went to church with Stevie for a long time, and for years he didn't know I could even talk. Where would I be today? I fear to say. But praise God, I know where I'm at now. Because I'm declaring Him as my first love. My prayer is today, dear friends, that He is your first love. And if He's not been your first love, that He will be before this service comes to a close. You say, Brother Liam, what do I need to do? In Jesus' message on the Mount, in the Sermon on the Mount message, in Matthew chapter number 7, listen to what Jesus said. Jesus encouraged His listeners to pray. And He said, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Verse 8, for every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. What we need is our disposal. What we need is before us today. You say, well, Brother Lynn, what do I need? You need Jesus. You might say, well, I got Jesus. Well, is Jesus first? I can't answer it for you. I can only answer it for me. But by our fruits, we're not. We can tell how that we live by the love that we have for Jesus Christ. Let's stand to our feet.